If you have your Bible, let me ask you to turn to Luke 17. Stick your finger in there. We're going to get to it here in a little while. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you indeed for all the things you do for us. You are a gracious God. Your kindness overwhelms us. Your love is deeper than the sea. Your strength for us in times of need, like steel. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We ask you to be with us now as we look at your word briefly this morning. Draw our hearts to your throne of grace, Lord. There are needs here this morning that no one knows anything about but you. I pray, Father, you'll meet those needs. Touch hearts. Lord, even in this service this morning, if decisions need to be made publicly, openly, whether it be a first-time profession of faith in Christ, rededication of life, whatever it may be, Lord, this is your place. These are your people. We've come to meet you. We ask you into our midst. You're here. We thank you. Let the Holy Spirit work freely. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thankfulness. Thankfulness is not something we do. It's the way we feel deep down inside. Saying thank you is not exactly the same as being thankful, is it? And thankfulness is an attitude, and the biggest part of a thankful attitude is the way in which we accept God into our lives. That passage we read in Daniel this morning, chapter 4, we are talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was the great king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar lived in a very brutal time. And he himself was a very brutal man. He murdered, he killed, he clawed his way to the top of the kingdom. He was indeed at the top of the mountain, at the top of the heap. And of course, this process had made him pretty cynical, I suspect, made him self-indulgent, made him a very proud man. When Nebuchadnezzar looked around and surveyed his kingdom, it was natural for him. When he looked to the north, he could see the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. Here in this beautiful garden, he had taken flowers from all kinds of exotic flowers, plants, trees, birds, brought them together to make a gift for his wife. To the east, if he looked over to the east, it would be the Iskar Gate, which is still there today. It's partially in ruins, but it's still there today. And you can still see splendor of its beauty even today. Babylon was a great city. It was surrounded by a great wall, 86 foot tall. And this wall was so thick, so wide, that they could drive two chariots side by side all along the city. Outside that wall, there was a moat that was 300 foot wide. No wonder, as the ancients looked at that city, they would say, Babylon is impregnable. What a huge fortress. What a monument to Nebuchadnezzar. To the south, he would have saw the great step pyramid, the ziggurat. When Nebuchadnezzar could think of these things, he said in his heart, is not this great Babylon. Have I not built it a house for my kingdom? He says, by what? By my might and my power and for my honor and my majesty. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had somewhere along the line lost his sense of perspective, hadn't he? He was at the top. He was powerful. No doubt about it. But he lost his wonder as well. He's lost his wonder of God. Now, all that remained in his eyes was the pride of life. His heart had no room for any kind of thankfulness. All he could think about was what I have done. Now, friends, let me just clue you in on something this morning. When you get to that kind of place in your life, and you probably will, watch out. Watch out. I won't read those passages for you this morning, but after chapter 4, verse 30, comes verse 31 and following. And God takes a look at Nebuchadnezzar and says, I think you need some comeuppance. You need to recognize who you are. And God began to work in his life to bring Nebuchadnezzar to a place of utter and complete humility. He was just turned out, the scripture says. He ate grass in the field like a beast. Here's the king of Babylon. He's lost his mind. He's lost all control. He has no ability to adjust himself and to make his wishes known anymore. He's just out there at the mercy of the elements. But you know, God is gracious. He really is. In verse 34, it says, at the end of the days. We don't know exactly how long Nebuchadnezzar was in this state. But it says, at the end of the days, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. And what happened? His mind came back to him. And then I want you to see down there in verse 37, it says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are truth, and his ways and judgments, and those that walk in pride, he will be able to abase. Yes, I think he probably understood that lesson right well. God brought him down, gave him a good dose of humility, and he didn't forget that. You know, thankfulness is an attitude, and the biggest part of that thankful attitude is a way in which we accept God into our lives. What's your thankfulness quotient this morning? Listen, you don't want God to give you an attitude adjustment, I guarantee. You know, for many Americans, we have forgotten the benefits of God Almighty, and we have placed God and the altars with other strange gods, science, human ingenuity. We hear much about medicine and the health care debate, of course, raging, and the first steps towards that passing the other day. But have we forgotten that God has allowed these marvelous and wonderful things to take place? It's through his grace that these miracles of science come about. We marvel at the rocket ship blasting off to go out into space, to go to the moon, all those kind of things. Can you remember when you were at, when they landed on the moon? I can. I was in Alabama. I was waiting for my wife to get off from work. She worked 3 to 11. And it was a beautiful night. And I looked up and saw that beautiful moon. And I thought to myself, somebody's walking on that moon tonight. What an accomplishment. What a marvelous and wonderful thing. And you know, there was a thrill in my heart. There was a sense of admiration. There was a sense of joy. There was a sense that, boy, you know, we have accomplished something as a nation that is wonderful. But, you know, we need to be filled also with the wonder of God. Because he has divinely crafted works for us every day. Michael called the other day and Michael said he saw a 12-point deer. I was deer hunting yesterday. Saw nothing. I should have went with Michael. But I did see a squirrel. Yeah. Yeah. And I marveled. This squirrel ran across this little teeny limb. He just ran right across, and he jumped to another little limb, and he came over to the tree right next to me, and he wasn't more than 18 inches away, and he stood there, and he just chattered at me. I thought, wow, isn't that marvelous? That's so wonderful. But he kept doing it. He'd jump back on the limb, go over here, chatter a little while, jump back on the limb, come over here. Right there, I thought about taking my gun and whacking him in the head. This squirrel had the ability, though, to run up and down those limbs like it was nothing. He wasn't watching what he was doing. It was just all God-given instinct in him. He was just running back and forth. I don't know what he thought I was. Probably he said, that's the biggest, ugliest squirrel I've ever seen. Get out of my forest. How does a firefly, how does a lightning bug make light? Well, we say, well, it's some kind of chemical process. Well, okay, all right. But isn't that a wonder? Do you know how complex the human body is? In relationship to the moonshot, one of our greatest achievements, the difference is like being the difference between the Encyclopedia Britannica and a postcard. What we sent to the moon was a postcard. What God sent to the earth was the Encyclopedia Britannica called human beings. Isn't that amazing? Thankfulness is an attitude that is primarily in our heart when we understand what God has done for us. His grace, His mercy, His love. I stopped by from seeing Chuck the other day, stopped over at Walmart to get something and passed by a young lady. I don't know how old she was. I would say 10, 15, somewhere in that age bracket. And she was in one of those little wheelchairs. You know, I don't know what. She probably had some sort of disease and something had ravished her body. And she was strapped in that little chair, her hands and her fingers, head. But you know, I looked in her eyes and I could see somebody in there. And she smiled. I thought, oh God, I'm walking down this aisle. I can lift my hand. I can scratch my head. I can speak. What mercy God has shown to me. Has He shown that mercy to you? Maybe there needs to be an attitude. I'm not talking about thankfulness. I'm talking about a heart of thanksgiving. Let's look at that passage in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, and it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, Jesus, and as He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They had to stand afar off. That was the law. They would have to shout, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. And as He entered into the certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, what did they say? Have mercy on us. And when He saw them, I think that that's one of those small little words that we cannot capture. When Jesus saw them, He saw them. You know, we go by people all the time and we see them, but we don't see them. Jesus saw them. Like He allowed me to see that little young girl the other day. He saw them. His heart was opened. And He said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, you recognize that Jesus did many things miraculously in healing. Sometimes He stooped down, He spit in the, made some spittle in clay and healed the blind man. Sometimes He touched, sometimes He spoke. He just told them what? Go to the priest. He was telling them the prescription for being clean under the Levitical law, yet they weren't yet clean. So He was asking them to be obedient. Obey me. Nothing's happened yet, but go. By the time you get there, something's going to happen. Matter of fact, it didn't even take that long. Go yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, saith the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It's amazing, isn't it? Here these lepers are. Jesus sees them. He understands what's exactly happening. He commands them by the authority in which he was and is the Word made flesh. Go, you're clean. By the time you get to the temple, you will be clean. And almost immediately that process began. Because I don't know how many steps they took, but they didn't go very far. And they were clean. And one comes back and falls at Jesus' feet and worships and thanks him. And that's marvelous. That's wonderful, isn't it? But Jesus asked the very penetrating question, didn't he? Were there not 10? Where are the other 9? I wonder myself, how many times we're like that? God does something marvelous and wonderful for us, but we're just too busy. We're headed to the temple. We're not going to turn around for anything. We're going to go. And our minds get focused and fixated on something that's lesser, and we begin to forget about the greater. And we say, well, God is gracious and God is love and he is, and all those things are marvelous and wonderful and true. But Jesus said, where are the 9? Listen, friends, when God blesses you, he blesses you no holds barred. Do you know that? When God saves you, he saves you no strings attached. If you confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you place your faith and trust in Christ, there are no conditions. God says, I will make you whole. And he will do that. And yet, you know what? I see that all the time. Marvels and wonderful things happening in people's lives. And they soon forget what God did for them. And I think to myself, how can that be? How can that be? You see, I once was there myself. I once bent my knee. I bowed my heart. I asked Christ in my life. And I think to myself, anything that God asks me to do, I'm willing to do. Somebody said to me not too long ago, and I don't mean to say, because I'm going to turn this around a little bit for you in a second, but, you know, Mother Mike, why don't you go pick up people and bring them to church? Isn't that out of your way? Don't you have to do something? Sure. But what did Jesus do for me? Wow. You see, I believe that God says, come to me, I'll clean you up. I'll make you whole. I will bless your life. I will make you a blessing. And if you'll walk in my paths, I'll use you to be a blessing. And when you walk in those paths and you are that blessing, guess what? You get blessed. You get blessed. You can be a blessing to other people. That's part of it. But I guarantee you, friends, you get blessed. You see, God doesn't hold anything back from you. He just dumps it out and dumps it out and dumps it out. How could you say no? How could you say, meh? Too busy for that today, Lord. How can you say that? I don't know. But there were 9 who didn't. I think that's probably not an exception, but really it's the rule. God saves 10, but only one says, you've got to be all of me. Anytime. Call my number. I'm there. I think maybe 9 say, well, Lord, thank you, but I'm headed to the temple. I've got to do the prescribed things. And somehow or another, unexplainable, isn't it? It does not make any sense. It is not logical that they could be blessed in such a way as that and not come back and say thank you. Well, today, as we look towards Thursday, we're reminded to be thankful. You can say you're thankful and say, thank you, but is it here? Is it here? And the only way you're going to know it's here is for you to be a person who gives thanks. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a little time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you something. But God always repays. Always repays. Are you thankful? The psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, what? Endures forever. Wow. That's our God. Who has lifted you up, taken you by the hand, and said, come walk with me. Are you thankful? I hope you're thankful this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I don't know how you tolerate us, but you do, and you love us so. Help us to be in love with you and also be loving to others. Lord, we would be like Jesus. We know that, recognize that that's what discipleship is in the New Testament. It's becoming like Christ. Having the mind of Christ in us. We are your royal ambassadors in this world. We have been commissioned and sent forth, set apart, sanctified with the Holy Spirit of God. To show Jesus in the 21st century. Lord, thank you. And we thank you for these things we ask in Jesus' name.